It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast.
Well, if this mighty wind doesn't blow us all away first. How you doing, Will?
It is pretty windy.
Pretty fucking windy out there.
I was driving on a canyon road. I thought I would topple over. How am I doing, though, was the question. And, I gotta go home for Christmas.
Like you do.
Like I do. As I'm wont to do. I'm going home for Christmas. And, it's just always a headache. Like, I gotta make sure I see everybody. God forbid, you didn't see.
If they know you're in town and you didn't see them, they just get pissed off.
They get mad. God forbid I don't see the new friend who had a baby. God forbid.
You have to see the friend, you gotta see the baby.
I gotta see the friend. But, I do have one big Christmas plan. Me and my father will be sneaking away from the Christmas
madness
dinner table to go see Django Unchained. So I'm going to be celebrating the birth of Christ by watching Jamie Foxx kill a bunch of white people.
Yes. That as Jesus intended.
That is what the holiday is.
Imagine if The Great Gatsby were coming out this Christmas too. What would you do?
Then I would do a double feature.
Go see Leonardo DiCaprio in two different films. Playing two very different characters.
So, what's going on in our world? It's the same thing.
Same thing. Last episode of the year, people. 2012 is over. It's done. No more. No more 2012. Get over it. Stop crying. Stitcher, iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, all those things. Go there. Find us. It's all good.
For Christmas, make someone subscribe to...
Yes, that's it. If you want a cheap present you don't have to spend any money on... give someone the gift of the Will Sean Podcast. You know.
I guess what do? You just put, like, the QR code to our podcast in a card, and you give it.
It's so. Less bullshit than making a donation in their name. That's all I'm saying. So.
Yeah, you get more entertainment out of the starving children. This is the Will Sean Podcast. This is entertainment.
Yeah, we are the starving children, so feed us.
Who's our sponsor this week?
This week is brought to you by the year 2012, a year so amazing they made a movie about it.
And it was a hell of a movie.
It was a hell of a movie. I actually did not see the movie.
And you know what? I'm going to say this ashamed. I kind of like it because it's so bad. It's like, you know, you kind of have to have fun with it. It knows it's crap. It's a movie that knows it's crap.
Okay, unlike Django Unchained, which hasn't come out yet.
Exactly. That's going to be brilliant. Speaking of brilliance, on the show this week, it's Christmas. We're going to be talking about Christmas.
What? What the hell's Christmas?
I know. It's a holiday that you do not celebrate.
Nope.
That's why we're going to talk about it. I'm going to teach you. You're always teaching me about your Jewish holidays. I'm going to teach you about Christmas. And, you know, mention 2012, and the enemy is going to have to do with something with that movie. But first, our guest today, Lonnie Millsap.
Hello.
Hello.
Lonnie is a terrific cartoonist, and he's got a new book, I Stepped on a Duck.
Quack.
This is my latest release.
Latest release.
Yes.
I was at the book party for it the other night. I had a good time, and it's a very funny book.
Did you get something to drink?
I did have something to drink.
Fantastic.
I had something to drink. There were also snacks.
Yes, little pretzel snacks. Yes.
Not a form of snack. Let's take a step back. So these are... For those of you who don't know, cartoons are printed comics that are then collected and bound in a book form. They used to appear in newspapers.
Right.
Now, newspapers used to be daily publications.
Mm-hmm. Now they're online. Events. Right, yeah.
Yeah. Let's kind of talk about that. What is it like being a comic in today's day and age? What is your medium?
Well, right now my medium is books. Okay. You know, I'm actually even, you know, until there's the last newspaper, I'm going to try to struggle to get into it.
Is that the dream to, like, still be, like, part of the Sunday funnies?
It is. It's a dream that you have when you're a kid. And, you know, the books are, you know, make me get partway there. So I want to try to finish it off. You know, web comics are great and everything. But it's satisfying to see yourself in print.
Now, your comics are one-panel comic, kind of like
right.
Far Side
right.
was. I think that's an example everybody probably... Would do you think someone like a Gary Larson now today would be like on the web
exclusive? Like, I mean, you might have books, but do you think that's where people like that go now?
I would think so. Yeah, I, you know, it's the wave of now. I guess I can't even say the wave of the future. You know,
it's just what's happening.
Right,
this day and
right.
Age. That's the medium.
And you know, for me, since I got into the game a little late, the first book came out what 2 years ago. You know, right now I would probably start that way. You know, with a webcomic or whatever, and maybe turn it into a book once I gathered, you know, enough. But you know, I did it in reverse.
Let's take a step back. Are you from Los Angeles originally?
I'm from Los Angeles originally. Moved to Atlanta back in 95.
Okay.
And then moved back from Atlanta last February of 2011.
Had enough of Atlanta?
Had enough of Atlanta. really glad
there,
I'm back.
Just
yeah.
Know that it's referred to as Hotlanta, GA.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they don't say it that much anymore. And I had a great time there, you know.
Okay.
But it sort of ran its course. You know, I ended up, you know, I moved there. Got married, had a house, got a divorce, sold the house, lived
the American
the single
dream.
Life. Yeah, I did everything in, you know, 12 years and made it back here. You know?
What were you doing down? I mean, were you always doing?
I've always been drawing, but not professionally. I mean, I was working just the regular 9-to-5 job, middle management kind of stuff.
Just like the rest of us.
Just like the rest of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I would do little side gigs at work sometimes. They knew that I drew cartoons, and so, oh, well, we need...
For the Christmas you know, party. You
that kind
card.
Of stuff. Yeah, I'd be that guy. Yeah.
Now, so. did you always do, like, cartoons like this? Because what I think is interesting about this and about the comics you'd see in the papers and stuff like that is they didn't just have to be well-drawn, but the person drawing them had to be funny, too. They had to be, like, a good... funny writer,
right.
Yeah.
Too. It's like, it's I could see someone, like, I could see me being able to come up with something funny. I would never be able to draw it. Or someone having this drawing skill but not have anything funny. But you have both. So was it always stuff like this?
It's always been stuff like this. You know, all the way through, you know, high school and stuff, I would be drawing along the borders of the pages and
yeah.
Stuff like that, but always sort of gags going on. And then between high school and college, I met a, I had a teacher, his name was Gary Panter.
Okay.
And he eventually won some Emmy Awards for Pee-wee's Playhouse, you know.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, he's Matt Groening's friend and, you know, they're contemporaries and stuff, they're buddies. And so...
Phenomenal company.
Yeah, and so I was very lucky to have met them back then. And then he told me to, you know... Back during that 6-week course, it was just a summer school course. He's
right.
Like, keep a sketchbook, you know, put everything in a sketchbook. And so I've been drawing ever since then. And probably just a few years after that, it started to look like it does now. I mean, my style has been pretty similar most of the time.
Okay.
Now, obviously he had a lot of influence on you.
He really did,
you.
Yeah.
Were there other comic strips that you admired or like... Mad Magazine or things like that? Were there other, like, was there anyone in particular or anything in particular that...
I did. If you talk about Mad, it was Sergio Aragonés.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and he actually, on this book, he did the blurb on the back of the book. Which,
oh, yeah.
Those of you who've ever seen an issue of Mad Magazine, he's the quintessential comic artist who does all the stuff in the margins.
Right.
All the weird stuff around the comics around the comics.
Right.
You know,
and he was a huge influence to me. You know, back then.
Is he still working with Matt? Or
he does, yeah. He does a cartoon called Gru right
okay.
now. And it's like these big, massive, you know, really... the style that he draws
yeah.
filling up whole, huge pages.
Wow.
You know.
Compared to just the border
and,
stuff that he'd done with
right,
Mad Magazine.
Right. And,
do you still read Mad Magazine?
No, not that much.
I haven't picked one up. I used to have a subscription as a kid.
I was drawn through a link I checked
out on
crack.com recently. It's funny shit. I don't know why I haven't looked at it in a while, but there's a lot of...
Well, you would read Cracked?
I was a mad boy.
Then why did you just say Cracked?
Because that symbol was mad and it was Cracked. It was like the Starbucks and coffee. What's your flavor?
I think they're a little edgier now. Like
Cracked
mad,
is a little edgier.
Yeah, and Mad is even more than it used to be, I think, when I was a kid. It was sort of corny at a point.
Yeah.
And I think Sergio's... really wasn't corny all the time. You know, it was just very consistent.
A little bite to it.
Yeah, and still now he does those in there. I've seen one recently.
With every like movie that comes out, there's always, what's the porn title going to be, and what's the mad title going to be? You know, what's the parody version of this going to shake out when this is all said and done? So, actually, I have a question.
Yes.
So this book, I Stepped on a Duck. What number book is this that you've?
This is the third book.
Okay.
Yeah. It's been about one a year. For the past 3 years.
That's three more than I've put out. So.
Well, how long does it take you to how many comics are in this book?
About 140 plus, yeah.
How long does it take you to come up with that much material?
That was about a year's worth right there.
And that's why I book a year, basically?
Yeah.
It's about one every 3 days or so?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can come up with batches of cartoons at a time, and then other times it'll be like a week and I can't think of something good.
Got it.
You know, like the first book was really that came out in 2010, My Wash Cloth Stinks, LonnieWilson.com. It was more of a compilation of cartoons that I'd done all the way from like the 90s until 2010. So I was able to, yeah.
And now it's like, shit, I got a deadline. I got to put something out.
It's more like that now. And it seems like I work pretty well under deadline. If there's nothing going on, you know, I work a little more slowly. But if I come up with a date to put the next book out, which will be probably the middle of next year, I'll be able to come up with material to fill it that I think will be funny.
I was always that way with anything. I had to give myself that deadline, otherwise I would never get it done.
Exactly. And I wish I had never waited 20 years for the first book
to
figure that out. That's right.
And it's great. What I love about the book is there's a lot of, you have a lot of fun with different conventions too. Like there was one I like where a basketball goes outside of the panel, like the character.
Goes
outside of the panel. Or there's another one where, as it would be from the inside of a place, bar is spelled backward.
Right.
And the characters in the comic comment on it. Like, there's a lot of fun stuff like that that plays with the convention.
I like to twist things up a little bit. You know, as far as the basketball coming out of the frame, you know, that's probably like a tribute to like Tex Avery and stuff where the cartoons would run out of the borders.
Yes,
and
then you have the film strip running and they would look back behind them and then run back into the film strip. Yeah.
Exactly.
I also noticed that there are a lot of angels. You have a lot of angels and a lot of toilet paper. A lot of jokes. Oh, but you know, Gary Larson always had the cows and stuff. Similar theme?
That is, you know, it's funny. I didn't realize that, I think, until the end of this book. And you know, it seems to be a theme. And I think I'm going to ask my parents.
Mom and Dad, why are there so many angels and toilet paper?
Have I done something wrong? You know, but, you know, in thinking about that, you know, the next book I'm going to have, it's going to be called God. And right now it's a little compilation of those cartoons plus, you know, about 15 new ones. And it's going to expand to a book.
It's God, colon, the final word.
Well, it's going to be actually God, exclamation point, and then subtitled Gary Omar Dixon.
You know? Gary Omar Dixon.
Yeah, so, you know, so.
Is that our, because I mean, there's a character that seems to pop up throughout this.
Yes.
Is that Gary Omar Dixon?
That, yeah, I believe it is, yeah. That's what it's going to be.
I love that Gary Omar. It's such an unassuming name. Myself, I am a, I don't even know how to describe it. I loved Farside, but Calvin and Hobbes for me is the. There has never been anything greater in comics than Calvin and Hobbes.
Nothing approaches. Yeah.
And Bill Wanderson notoriously fought for years to get more space in the papers.
Right.
To turn. He was a fan of the old style of comics, how they had been in his childhood. Mm-hmm. And he wanted those full page spreads,
right,
the full color. He eventually got for himself a full color Sunday spread in most major papers in the country, mm-hmm, which was unheard of. And since he's retired, has not come back since.
Right.
But were there any, I guess where my question is going, were there any, other than Gary Larson, any influences that you had growing up that you were a big fan of?
Yeah, you know, starting off, I liked Charlie Brown when I was a kid. I think everybody did. Herman.
Yeah, I remember Herman.
Yeah, okay. I think that used to run in the Times. There was also a cartoonist named Mr. Boffo.
Oh, Mr. Boffo.
I used to love that cartoon.
That's a pretty good cartoon.
Yeah. And it was sort of like that. It was sort of like maybe Herman but a little more twisted. Okay. More twisted than I like Mr. Boffo more than I liked The Far Side, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Sometimes The Far Side I didn't get. Some of them.
See, I felt like with The Far Side, each comic was almost, this is kind of sacrilegious, every comic was almost a religious moment, or a philosophical moment.
Yeah.
Like you would look at it, you meditate on it, there was a comedic point to it.
Right.
But there was also a greater point to each Far Side comic. Maybe I'm putting it on a pedestal that it doesn't belong on.
No, but I'm actually agree with you, because I would look at those comics and study them.
Yeah.
Endlessly, I had all the Far Side books.
It was humor. That was the essence of comedy was in the Far Side. And then I think why I like Covenant Hobbes is there was, it, to me, it was the essence of imagination.
Yeah.
You know, it was, he did such a great job of putting himself into the brain of this 6-year-old boy.
He really did.
And it wasn't just the humor, it was also the drawing, the animation, the penciling, the coloring. And the full-color comics were beautiful. I mean,
he's a great artist. Yeah, he was a great artist. Yeah.
I really missed. I mean, I guess they still have the comics in the paper.
He was like Seinfeld for Seinfeld. He went out on top.
But
he went out on his own terms.
Yeah.
But they still have like comics.
They do. They have them every day. They're very small.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have a whole strip, you know, I see the Sunday cartoonist. They will use, you know, the whole area just to do a single panel.
Yeah.
Now. And that's really the
Pearls Before Swine, I think, is pretty funny.
Yeah, those are
There's a couple, but I look at them and it doesn't have the same impact. Maybe being nostalgic about it.
Well,
yeah.
Well, so I mean, at the end of the day, I always felt the funnies in the paper were always for the kids and we're not kids. I mean, we still can appreciate them, but I mean, we grew up with certain
lurking in the corner is still that fucking family circus, though.
It's always going to be there.
Just like a landmine that the Germans left there.
It's always
at
that and Marmaduke.
That fucking dog. I'm glad that Kathy finally got the pull. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there is a comic in here with a, what is it called, an anatomically correct Spider-Man?
Yes. Yes.
And you told me a very interesting story about that comic. Why don't you tell our listeners?
Okay. Well, this is a comic in the new book that I'm sort of proud of, and it's anatomically correct Spider-Man. And really, the anatomically correct part is the web coming out of where it's supposed to come from instead of his wrists, your hands, or whatever.
Which would be...
it comes out of his butt. The web comes out of his butt.
Like so, you do.
You know. So, I mean, and it just shows him hanging there from the web with the description. So, I was asked as an artist, you know, among other artists, to submit a piece of artwork for an exhibition called True Heroes for pediatric brain tumors. And... you know, we had the choice. It had to be superhero-related art. So
Spider-Butt-Man.
I asked if it was okay because, you know, I said, well, I don't really paint superheroes. And really, I thought the idea of submitting art would be for it to be art, you know? And not just, you know, let me draw this picture of regular Spider-Man and see him. Anyone bids on it or whatever,
it's
going to go on.
More
right, like, right.
You
and
need
so,
you.
Right. And so I hadn't painted it in a long time. And so I decided to do a 30 by 30 acrylic, you know.
So you
painting.
Reproduced this comic?
I reproduced that part of the comic, the visual part, in color, full color, and gave it a lot of texture. It's very thick and it was like, you know, very large. And he turned it in.
Now, what was the reaction to...
The reaction was good and bad. And and it made me feel like an artist, though. That's what I tell people. Because there were people who seemed outraged by it. And, of course, you know, if it's bid on or if it ends up in the hospital, it's not really going to end up in the hospital. It's not
so
appropriate
like
for
Hirsch.
Children. Right. And so they ended up putting a, you know, having a drawing for it. And of course, the lady that won it wasn't a big fan of it. She just left it there. So
you got to money, you got to take it home and put it over.
It was a win-win. It worked out for the kids, worked out for you.
That's right. So I have it back at home. I have it priced at $10,000 on my website.
Nice. Website. Well, Will, your bathroom. You have one of the Batman pooping reading magazines.
No, I have a great, my friend Pete Grass made this great drawing that I have over my toilet. It's Batman on the toilet.
Uh-huh.
And it's Batman, he's sitting on the toilet with his pants down, you know, utility belt around the ankle. And he's reading a Superman comic. And it's pretty funny.
That is funny.
Well, look, you mentioned the website. And now, where can people get the book? Can people get the book off the website?
They can get it off the website. Yeah, it's on LonnieMillsap.com.
Spell that for us, because our listeners are idiots.
Okay. It's at LonnieMillsap.com.
Yeah. And that is, by the way, that's on the internet. The thing on your computer. Ask the guy at the Apple Store. He'll show you.
Honestly, I've been to the site, and there are also comics up on the site, so they could get...
There's comics.
They could get an example of what the work is. This is funny stuff.
Thank you.
You should definitely go on and buy one of the books. I got a copy of I Stepped on a Duck, the new book. And
you were literally LOL.
And I look forward to reading the past books as well as next year, God. I'm very excited.
That's the big one.
So, moving along, you want to hang out while we do some time?
Sure, I'd love to. Sure.
Don't have a choice. But...
Yeah, you're not going anywhere.
That said, welded to your head.
Every week I give the guests, like, hey, you want to hang around?
Are you bored yet? You want it out?
No, I got to go.
Cool, we're good.
I'm going to really quickly bring up this topic before we get to more substantial topics.
We have substantial topics?
We always do. Last week on the show, we were talking a lot about The Hobbit coming out. Mm. I saw The Hobbit. Did you see The Hobbit?
I have not had the opportunity to see The Hobbit yet.
You haven't been able to carve out 3 hours?
No.
Watching drawers? Yeah.
Well, that's the problem. Like, I saw The Hobbit. And I very much liked it. And now I'm going to tell you everything that's wrong. It's a fun movie, but it's not Lord of the Rings. There's not the drama. Like, Lord of the Rings, we're saving Middle Earth. The Hobbits, the dwarves need their
home back. They want some gold. And the greedy little bastards.
Yeah, it's a little greedy. Just cut your losses, dwarves. Instead, they're fighting to the death, you know? And The Hobbit could have been called... The Hobbit, too many dwarves. Because there are
13
dwarves.
That's too many dwarves.
It's only supposed to be 7.
All 13.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they're all comic relief, aren't they?
They're all just kind of funny. And
now, how does it stack up to Snow White and the Huntsman with those dwarves?
Fuck that movie. Fuck those dwarves. These dwarves are better than those. None of the dwarves emerged as characters like they do in...
Well, you have two more films for them to really take shape.
Yeah. Were you a fan of the Lord of the Rings films?
I did see the Lord of the Rings films. I did see them.
Wow, so I guess not a fan.
Well, you know, I wasn't raised, you know, in the books and stuff like that. So they were entertaining movies, but I didn't take the memory of them away with me.
They're not like a religion, you know?
No, I don't. Yeah, I can't remember. I can only remember maybe a couple of specific scenes.
Really?
Yeah. But not the whole movie.
So you didn't do a 14-hour marathon like myself and Will did one afternoon.
And in my mind, you know, since it's been a while ago, they all sort of blend into one 3-hour
film.
Well,
let me introduce you to The Hobbit trilogy.
This is going to be 3 movies. I'll tell you what, if The Lord of the Rings didn't stick with you, maybe you can skip The Hobbit.
Oh, okay.
Maybe just see Zero Dark Thirty another time.
I'll see it when it comes on HBO.
Yeah, see it then.
Yeah.
With Larry David
and Hey, speaking of movies. This weekend, I don't know if you heard, and if you've driven through town, you clearly have, Tom Cruise is Jack Reacher. Who the fuck is Jack Reacher?
By the way, porno title, Jack Reach Around.
And they're trying to sell this character to me, Jack Reacher.
He's like John Carter. You don't know John Carter?
There's like 18 books, I hear.
Or Alex Cross. You don't know Alex Cross?
Yeah, this character.
What happened to fucking movie titles? What about Badass with a Leather Jacket? you know.
Are you familiar with the Jack Ketchum?
I'm not. I just heard it on the Tonight Show or Letterman last night.
Books?
Like 18 of them or
and
something.
And you know what the character, in the books, he's a 6'6" drifter. I'm not even quite sure. well, of course you think of a 6'6" violent drifter. You think 5'6" Tom Cruise.
Well, that would be him standing on top of himself.
Yeah. You know? I just had an image of Tom Cruise on Suri's back.
So I take it none of us are jazzed to see this movie. However, there's one thing that's making me and Sean think we might have to see.
Christopher McQuarrie?
Not Christopher McQuarrie. Werner Herzog.
Yes.
You know the great filmmaker, Werner Herzog. He plays the villain in this movie.
Really?
And it's the first movie where he's actually acted in a substantial role. He's done voiceover. Has he even done a substantial voiceover role before?
No, he's done. He was in Julian Donkey Boy.
Well, everyone remembers Julian Donkey Boy, directed by
Harmony Korine.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you familiar with, like, have you heard, like, Herzog speak? Have you heard this voice?
No, I mean, probably documentaries, I guess.
Yeah.
Fitzcarraldo, that kind of.
Fitzcarraldo's
Exactly. Yeah. He is a German filmmaker. He's in his 60s. And he's one of these men that just lives a heroic life. Myself and Will are obsessed with him. He's a fascinating individual. And we realized that we probably had spoken about him on the podcast this year because he did not have a movie come out in 2012. He knew better. He didn't want to get in the way of Roland Emmerich. He just knew this was a cursed year for films. He has a very steely, grave Bavarian accent. And he's just a fascinating person, and seeing him as the villain in a movie is awesome.
So, are we gonna have to see this film?
Yeah, of course. Also, it's getting pretty good reviews.
Is it?
Rolling Travers only doles out. Will and I the other day were bored, so we decided to go through all of the movie review archives on RollingStone.com.
I think the only thing more boring than that is people having to hear about them.
We wanted to see how many 4-star reviews Rolling Stone gave out.
What did you say?
I think they have nice cars in the, you know.
Yeah,
vintage, some kind of SS Camaro or something. I don't know. But
so there you go, folks.
Old school.
Tom Cruise in an old school car.
Automobile.
Tom Cruise in Bitchin' Camaro. Which would be a cooler title. Bitchin' Camaro.
They should have,
And going back to Jack Reacher very quickly, there's been a trend this year, and I joked about it, not giving movie titles anymore. Just the name of the character sells the film. You may have seen this. They do this a lot with animated films. They won't market the films as much as they'll just do a bunch of one-sheet posters with each of the characters' faces on it. It's like, I don't know these characters. I have no emotional attachment to them. You're not going to get me to go see a movie because you got the little yellow men from Despicable Me on a poster.
Somebody likes it.
But no, from the original, let's say going back to before you knew who these little yellow dudes were, the Minions. Don't sell me a movie on characters I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Same thing, Jack Reacher. Jack Reacher. That's not going to get me to buy a ticket.
You brought up animated films. As a cartoonist, do you check out like a lot of the animated films? Is that something that interests you?
You know what? I'm much more into old animation. You know, like
hand drawn.
Look at Disney.
Well, you know, not even Disney really. Warner Brothers.
Oh wow. Okay.
You know, Tex Avery cartoons. Yeah. You know, those kind of things. The ones
Chuck
that
Jones,
make you laugh. Yeah, Chuck Jones, Roadrunner stuff.
That stuff still holds
Bugs
up
Bunny.
To this day.
It's all great, and I love them. The older, the better. You know, like the older Roadrunner cartoons.
You go too old.
Yeah.
It's like,
Well, yeah. But I mean, you know, 50s, 60s. You know, those kind of things.
All the old Looney Tunes.
There's a
right,
great gag
exactly.
on The Simpsons from, I don't know, season 4 or so. Krusty gets canceled. They cancel Itchy and Scratchy, so they replace it with Russia's favorite cat and mouse duo. And it's this crazed ass Soviet area cartoon. So that's what I think of when I think of cartoons that are too old. Like weird 1930s cats that don't really move. They just kind of shake in the frame. So Jack Reacher. We're going to go see it.
Yeah, okay, well, right? It's not going to be high on my list. I'll see it eventually.
You see everything. What do you
see it eventually. I'm going to do things. Don't want to see first. But you know what? Christmas is coming up.
What?
Yeah. Now, do you get into Christmas?
Yes.
You like Christmas guy?
I do like Christmas. I haven't started my shopping yet or anything. So it's about
that.
Yeah. It's time to, and now it's on the radio, so.
You know what you do?
What?
Give everybody a copy of your book.
I think I'm going to have to.
It's a self-serving Christmas present.
And then what I'll do is I'll tape them together in a box form, you know, and then put one of my books inside.
A box,
so then that'll be, yeah. Yeah.
The box set of your books.
That's right.
Yeah, but that's a lot of copies of your book you got to put out.
You know.
Well, Sean.
Yeah.
There was this guy named Jesus.
Continue.
And he was born to a virgin, although I just made air quotes.
No, continue. Yeah, it works well on the podcast.
Virgin mother.
Uh-huh, yes, and?
And he was the son of God.
Oh, was he now?
And your people don't believe this.
My people?
Yeah, your people.
Germans?
Yeah.
Mexicans? Argentinians? What are you talking about? Jews.
Jews, yes.
Yes, I see a little ambivalence about dropping a hard J. Really, so what did we do with this alleged son of God?
You killed him.
Did we now?
Yes.
How did we kill him?
Yeah, I think
we didn't shower him with love?
You convinced the Romans to kill him.
Yeah, that's what we do. We hide in the shadow like spiders.
Mel Gibson made a movie about it.
That's true.
But in all seriousness, the holiday season, Christmas. I mean, what are some of your favorite Christmas entertainment stuff?
You know, I like watching particular movies. It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, this is a great film.
Yeah. What's the other one with the kid?
Charlie Brown?
Christmas Story that's on.
I had never seen that until last year.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Well, as you recall, I'm a Jew, so that wasn't exactly de rigueur to my upbringing.
You liked a lot of Christmas entertainment because we were talking about this.
There are two, in my brain, there are two quintessential Christmas movies. Love Actually.
I love that movie. I think that's
phenomenal.
A great movie.
It's,
yeah.
That's the holiday movie.
It's like the new modern holiday film. And it's strange because there's some unhappiness in it. Mm. There's some nudity in it. There's a lot of profanity in it.
Sounds like Christmas in my house.
I mean, but it's such a great film.
Yes, it is. It is.
And the second quintessential Christmas movie, Die Hard.
Well, it doesn't get better than that. Ho, ho, ho. Now I have
to change. But growing up as a little Jew in the Valley, Die Hard to me was Christmas.
How about Gremlins?
Oh, shit, yeah.
I hadn't thought about that.
Gremlins is also,
yeah.
That's, you know, the original conception was It's a Wonderful Life with little creatures. That was the original pitch for Gremlins. And if you go back and think about it, it's got that small town Pottersville feel to it. There's a very deliberate It's a Wonderful Life feeling
and
to the film.
And that one woman is like Mr. Potter.
Exactly. Not Potter's, but what's the name of the town? It's Bedford Falls?
Bedford Falls.
Yeah.
It turns into Pottersville.
Yes.
In the band.
But that was Joe Dante's idea for Gremlins, was what if It's a Wonderful Life got infested with gremlins?
I'm going to have to go back and watch that.
It's
I've
a
never
brilliant
thought
movie.
About
and
it
actually,
that way.
Gremlins 2, that's a movie we need a sequel to. Fuck this Indiana Jones. We need another Gremlins movie.
I'd be down for that.
Yeah, yeah.
How about music? How about holiday songs? Any Christmas songs?
The Charlie Brown songs. Those songs from the Charlie
Christmas
Brown. Yeah. Don't tell anyone.
I know that. And that's also, there's a lot of Jesus in that Charlie Brown Christmas. I mean, you have...
There is.
Linus is just straight up quoting from the book of Luke.
But you know what? I mean, I'm not really... I mean, I'm talking about Jesus here before. I'm not really a religious person. But I appreciate that they, you know, that the Charlie Brown thing was actually like, we're going to talk about what Christmas...
Well, it's earnest, and there's no irony to it. And I think that's why it holds up, because it doesn't undercut itself. It's not snarky.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so sincere that it just works for... generation. The show still, when they air it, it gets crazy ratings on the television. So,
Know what Christmas song I like? Because I don't understand how this pairing came to be.
Mariah Carey?
No. Although Mariah Carey, no one has gotten more mileage out of a Christmas song than Mariah Carey has. But I've always enjoyed the David Bowie Bing Crosby.
Yeah, that's a great song. Yes. I'm old enough to remember when that was on. Like, I saw it that day.
What
you
was
know?
The deal with that special? It just seemed like a weird pair.
It was very strange, with Bing Crosby and him. But it was a great... That song is great.
And
it's held up very well.
In the video for it, I've never seen the full special, but Bowie shows up at Bing's house.
Like you do.
And he was so sincere, you know, it just seemed so different than the character that he presented himself to be.
Yeah.
Back then, you
was
know,
this was a Bing Crosby special that David Bowie crashed.
Yeah, you know how Bing goes around to different people during the episode, and you know, sing song. Some, it's just a variety special, Christmas variety special. But
Colbert did something like that a few years ago where he did a...
Yeah, well, that's the way they did it then.
Okay.
No, let me ask you this.
Like a Mel Torme.
Yeah. What?
Kind of thing.
The Velvet
you know.
Funk. Mel Torme. You don't know Mel Torme?
I know of Mel
Funk.
Torme.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. He's got a voice. He sings.
Sean, you have been inundated with Christmas music.
I have.
You... had to hear it. I mean, we won't...
I work at a place where they've decided since November 1st to just pump in Christmas music 24/7, and it's driving me insane. It's driving all of us to arms, my coworkers. I've spoken with other employees of this company at different locations, and they've managed to sabotage the Christmas audio system.
Wow.
And we have not managed to get around to that yet. Not only am I inundated with Christmas music, I was subjected to the tyranny that is Secret Santa.
Oh.
By the way, let me tell you though, my Secret Santa this year, amazing. I got so fucking lucky. I got a $35 Amazon gift card and a $15 Starbucks gift card.
Now, what did you give as a Secret?
I gave a bag of gummy worms at $25, $24 and $2 bills.
Oh.
What?
She requested, what the fuck, gummy worms? Sass and roofies. That's what she wanted. So I put on an envelope for roofies. Love Santa. I put $24 and $2 bills, and I gave her a bag, and I put in a bag of gummy worms.
She's got a wild Christmas plan.
Yeah.
Did you? Do you? I mean, if you like Christmas, do you like all the Secret Santa? Like, do you like things like that?
I enjoy all that stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
It's awful.
I know it's
really,
corny. Yeah.
You're really pure heart.
I unfortunately. Yeah.
I was.
Don't tell anyone.
Once we had this guy. Loved Christmas, and the whole month of December would come in wearing a Santa hat and all this stuff. And he came in.
Not even ironically, he just wore it.
No, he just loved it. And he came in one day, and me and the other employees are sitting there, and he goes, I have a great idea, guys. And we're like, what? He goes, why don't we do a Secret Santa? We all looked at him, and we're like, no. And you could see his heart break on his face. But we weren't. I mean, I'm a terrible gift giver. Like, I don't mind giving people gifts. I just don't know what to get anybody.
Yeah.
I'm the
yeah.
gift cards.
Yeah, yeah.
You must have the same problem. Since you haven't done any.
I'm the same way. You know, I'm going to try to figure it out, but yeah, I'm the same way. I like the season. I think I like generally that people seem a little nicer, you know, around this time of year. And so I just have fun with it.
It's weird out here in L.A. because it doesn't feel like back in New York because it's...
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
it feels like as soon
it's cold
as the
here.
Santa Claus goes up in the corner of Wilshire and Beverly Drive, that's fucking Christmas for me. I don't like the forced directive of give presents. If I see something and I think, oh, so-and-so would like this, I will get this for
right,
so-and-so.
Right.
I have no problem doing that, but when you put a gun to my head and say, get this person a present by this date or else, that's when you end up with an envelope full of $2 bills. Because I don't want to fucking get gift cards. Also, back to the Secret Santa, I'm sorry, I'm just still harping on this. I like it when they say don't spend more than $20 or up to $25. Good. Framework.
Right.
Don't tell me $25 to $50. Don't give me that range because then I'm going to spend $25 and then I'm going to get $50 in gifts
right.
and I'm going to feel like an asshole. So don't give me that. Just say you can't spend more
up
than
to
this $25. Amount.
That's
not that, that brilliant Office episode where – Steve Carell gets
yes.
the iPod and then is pissed off that no one else spent as much money as he did. So, fuck you, Secret Santa.
Well, here's the problem. Christmas, I don't know if you heard, but Christmas might not happen this year.
That's right. We'll find out in a couple of days, I think.
So, this is ancient people called the Mayans. And the Mayans had a calendar.
Like you do.
To tell, you know, hey, they need to know what day it is, too. And their calendar ends December 21st.
Right.
Of 2012. We are recording this on December 18th.
Mm-hmm.
According to many people, the world's going to end. The Mayan calendar runs out. The world is ending. It's Armageddon. It's doomsday. It's it. We're all fucked. And you want to know what? This is pissing me off. And I'll tell you why. Because one... First of all, to do that around the holidays is just bullshit. But two, we're recording this episode here tonight. It might never see the light of day. This episode can never air. We're not. I mean, this is all masturbation, man. And
more so than usual.
It's just a waste of time. So you want to know what? Fuck you, Mayans. You're the enemy of the podcast. I say, I dare you, Mayans. I say, bring it on, December 21st. I call bullshit.
Does this mean I still have to edit the episode?
No, you have to edit the episode. Just in case.
Come on, Mayans, come through. Didn't Mel Gibson teach you anything?
I am flying out on the 21st, so I wonder, am I going to, like, is a super volcano going to erupt and
will you stand a better chance of survival being in the air?
I'm going to have to, the plane's going to land, and I'm going to have to repopulate the Earth with the women on my plane. This actually could work out well today. This could work out.
Or terribly. You get a bunch of post-op transsexuals.
Oh my god.
The convention. Hey boy, come on over here.
So,
big babies.
But here's what's so stupid about this, and maybe this is wrong. I mean, the Mayans probably just ran out of calendar space.
Yeah, I mean, I read a very thorough article that broke down what was going on, what was the logic, why is the Mayan end of the world coming, quote-unquote, and why it's not happening. I don't remember any of the details, but it's all bullshit. So, relax, people. World's not going to end. That being said, I'm going to be having a special Shabbat dinner that night. Not only is it going to be Christmas time, we normally do a Merry Shabbos dinner. We do like a Friday night dinner around Christmas, but now it's going to be Merry Shabbocalypse.
Nice.
Yes.
Lon, do you have any plans for the apocalypse?
No, I think I'll just be drawing, and you know, it'll be like, have you seen the movie Melancholia?
Yes.
Did you see that? It'll be that I'll be drawing, and as the moon or whatever is coming through the planet.
I just remember naked Kirsten Dunst on the grass.
Yeah, on her wedding day.
Like you do.
Let me ask you this: will you have a naked Kirsten Dunst with you at the time?
If I can find her.
She's very crafty.
She's so elusive.
She's
very elusive.
Well, hopefully, this episode sees the light of day. I was reading an article that TGI Fridays are all having special Mayan apocalypse nights. If you want to spend your last hours on Earth at a TGI Fridays, be my guest. I'll be at Applebee's.
Sad evening.
I mean, that's just... And they got special, like, Mayan margaritas.
Can I go alone with a book?
I mean, the world's not really going to end. And I'm actually surprised more people... And if it does, fuck you again, Mike. But I'm surprised more people actually aren't as into this as
I think there's been one too many. Remember last year with the Doomsday... prophecy people that
there was
were
that crazy guy.
There was the dude in Times Square. Yeah, there was the cult that was convinced the world was going to end based on the Bible.
Right.
And it was, I remember watching the video. There was one guy standing in Times Square. He had mortgaged everything in his life, $200,000 plus in debt.
I remember.
He was standing there staring at this guy waiting for the world to end while people were yelling and heckling at him. He was just checking his watch. And when the world didn't end, you could see this look on his face of disappointment and just confusion as if, why did this not happen? Like, everything pointed to the fact that the world was going to end. They never specified East Coast time, Pacific time, you know, Greenwich Mean Time. So this dude just is convinced it's going to be, yeah, East EST, because that's where he lives, so that's when the world's going to end.
And that's the other thing I always hate about the people who predict the end of the world, because shouldn't it start, like, shouldn't the second it's morning in, like, Japan or yeah. something, or midnight?
Or Jerusalem, no, but it's got to be fucking noon in La Jolla, California, where you live, that's when the world's going to end.
It'll happen in waves, like when New Year's comes in.
Yeah. Well, I remember I spent the millennium... Yeah, exactly. The millennium New Year, 99 to 2000, I was on a settlement, which is now in the Gaza Strip and not accessible, right about 2 kilometers from the Egypt border, trying to keep my friends who were on ecstasy from jumping off the roof of our cabin. And I remember turning on the TV, realizing the world had not ended in Australia, and I was like, "All right, we're cool. It's good." It was about 6 hours before, you know.
So, the world is ending before I get on my plane that morning.
Yeah, you will. Yes, I'm sure they will make an announcement over the intercom.
I'm pretty confident that we're going to be doing all new episodes next year.
But should the world end, do I get your DVDs?
No.
Fuck.
I've already promised my DVDs in the event of an untimely death in which I'm not, like, I don't have children or anything, that Sean Corkery gets my DVDs.
So what the hell do I get? I get a 2012 calendar with all the boxes checked off.
You can get everything else.
I get a Fox One calendar.
Well, you know, the new year, this is the last show of the new year.
Right.
Of the year.
Oh, yeah, of the year.
Yeah, the years are old now. We can't call it the new year anymore.
This is the last show of 2012. So the new year's coming up. So right before we end this episode, Lon, you got any, like, do you make New Year's resolutions? Do you have a resolution for the next year?
I don't have a specific one. You know, I want to put out the book in the middle of the next year. And I just want to move forward, get more books out there, and maybe some animation done.
Oh, that's very noble.
It's my resolution.
Yeah, what's yours?
Survive New Year's Day. Well, my resolution this year was to put my book out and to start a podcast, and I did both. So let's see what 2013 brings.
Oh my God, what the hell?
What's your
Well, I'm trying to get into that whole essay reading stuff, I've definitely got one performance coming up early in the year. I got to write more stuff like that. Maybe try to perform a little bit. These words. I should probably get in some sort of better physical condition.
I think it'd be a good start.
I mean, am I a mess?
But you can always use a little dip and tuck.
I feel like the only thing keeping me alive is that glass of V8 I drink every
morning. Remember that old commercial where everyone was sideways and then they drink the V8 and they would straighten up?
I do remember that. I'm gonna get in shape. No, I'm not. I'm just gonna, you know, maybe I shouldn't eat
Maybe
cheap.
One less, like, yeah, cheesesteak sandwich a week.
I have no willpower. This food, I just keep eating. I was at a Christmas party, I ate all this chicken.
Your ham in your mouth.
Ham, and then I ate, and then someone came in with cupcakes, I'm eating dessert. I'm disgusting. That's why I don't keep a lot of food in the house.
Well, dude, I lost 16 pounds this year.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, fuck you.
And I still don't work out. No, so your resolution will be get in slightly better shape, and you get yourself a voice agent. That's the goal for this year.
And the usual goal of try to have more sex.
Well, that's a given.
It's a given goal.
Lonnie,
yes.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks.
Let's shake hands. Now, but before we leave, do some plugs one more time.
LonnieMilsap.com. You can get the books there. I Stepped on a Duck, latest book, God, comes out next year. My Washcloth Stinks. And also I Hate My Job are my other two books.
These are books that we could all relate to.
Also, prints are available. 13 by 19 inch prints and shirts, t-shirts. I Hate My Job t-shirts.
And that's all on the website.
Yeah, all on the website.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And you're on Twitter, right?
I'm on Twitter at Lonnie Millsap and also as at Mad Abe Lincoln.
That's right. You have this Mad Abe Lincoln.
Yes.
Quick, tell,
because
this was a big year for
Lincoln. So. Yeah, Mad Abe Lincoln pretty much just talks from the grave about things that are going on today.
In the life of Lincoln?
In the life of Lincoln. And in a humorous, hopefully humorous
I'll
manner.
I'll check this out. I didn't know about this. Yeah. That sounds very funny.
You can join the 33 followers.
Excellent. Help Mad Abe Lincoln get more followers.
That's
people.
Right.
That should be your New Year's resolution. It should be go buy I Stepped on a Duck and follow Mad Abe Lincoln.
Follow Mad Abe Lincoln.
Sean, last plug of the year.
Last plug of the year. Follow me on Twitter and Facebook at The Sean David. That is TheSeanDavid. You can also get my book, Triumvirs, TRIUMVIRS, at Amazon. That's AMAZON dot, that's DOT, com, COM. And you get that for Kindle, for not Kindle,
How
I guess.
How do you spell Kindle?
KINDLE, and don't forget the silent Q in Kindle.
Okay.
Yeah. And,
I've been calling it a Quindle.
Oh, well, yeah, it's a common mistake. I understand that. Seriously, though,
the D is silent.
If you want to spend a buck and get someone that you love a holiday present and some good reading, that's where to go.
Honestly, you could do all your shopping through the Wilshire Empire. You could give them the gift of the podcast, Sean's book, Lonnie's book. And I'll tell you what, if you pay me, I'll call the person and leave a special holiday message.
Or for enough money, we'll actually do a stinging telegram at your place.
In which you'll be the enemy of the podcast.
Oh, that's a good idea.
People could call and then I will leave messages like, fuck you, Andrew Marchand. You're the enemy of the podcast. Happy fucking holiday.
He's not the enemy of the podcast. He's the angel of the podcast. What's going on? So that's it. Instagram, letterpress, all that other stuff. And I hope to have some new things for you in 2013.
Instagram. You're still on Instagram.
Oh, I am.
Even with all the...
Even though they're going to be selling my photos.
Here's the thing about that. You heard this thing with Instagram.
I didn't hear about it.
They announced today that they changed their terms of service, where they have the rights to now resell it's their intellectual property.
Really?
If you post on there, so
that's terrible.
Whatever, it's fine.
It's one of those things that it's both terrible, but it's like, oh, you were posting on this site for the world to see,
and now you're pissed off about it. Yeah.
It's like you wouldn't put your cartoons on a site that you have your own website.
Right. Right.
You know.
But I don't have a website with filters where I can make pretty pictures.
And you're not a professional photographer.
No, I'm just a dude with a camera, with a phone.
You're not even a camera. So it's like, everybody relax. Oh my God, they're going to use that picture that you took of the lights outside LACMA.
Hey, those are pretty lights. I got lots of photos of those fucking lights. Don't shit on my lights.
You can follow me at The Real Will Link. You can also listen to me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on The PM Show with Larry Minetti. I review movies like The Hobbit. And you can listen to that at crntalk.com. And you can also read some writings of mine at u1can.com. Can spelled C-A-N-N-E-S.
No silent Q.
Like the city in France.
And 2012, that's a wrap.
Well... Let's tell the people what we have in store for 2013.
Let's do that.
The month of January, we already got the whole month of January planned. People, you're going to love it. The first week back, we're going to have Sarah Afkami.
Afkami, yes.
Afkami. She is a writer of television series, like this new show, The Wedding Band.
And Wilfred. Yes.
And Wilfred.
Wow.
So she's going to be on, so
that's great.
And then the week after that, we're going to have what might end up being our most misogynistic episode ever. Because we have a writer, Jack Dalton. He's written a book called Hesitation Leads to Masturbation, A Gentleman's Guide to Getting Laid. And I make a joke about the misogyny thing, but actually I've gone through the book. It's a very funny look at this stuff. We're going to have some fun with him. And maybe he can help us with our more sex New Year's resolution. And then we're also going to have our Oscar show where we run through the nominees. And then the big 50th episode, big surprise.
Season finale of season one of the Will Sean Podcast.
It's going to be great.
Better tune in.
So one last time, Lonnie, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
You had a good time.
I appreciate it.
Awesome.
And like you said,
for 2012, that's a wrap, I think.
We're finished.
Where's that button?